Here from inside the main build facility at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, I'm Tom. Ladies man's at the base of the camera pounding. It's another beautiful sunny South Florida morning, and we all know the master Bub entering stage right. Good morning, Bub. It's Friday. How are we doing today?
Pretty good so far. So it has already been an incredibly busy day here at BEM. I think this is already the fourth car on the lift, and it is only 11 a.m. So that tells you what time we get here.
Tells you what time.
And every one of them has been serviced, ready to go, and just flowing out the door. A lot of great things in the works. A lot of wrecked Jeeps out front of here, broken axles, stuff laying on the ground. We actually had a message sent in to us about a lowrider Jeep someone saw out front of our shop and asked if we were doing a new thing. No, the axle is snapped in half.
Are you
kidding? It's laying on the ground.
I had a client when they pulled in yesterday. The client with this, I met with the client that you're building the Pro Touring Camaro with, Bub, yesterday. By the way, they're blown away by that car. The beautiful, I mean, just the icon, just, oh, everything about it. The smoothed in firewall, Bub.
Yeah.
The, you took in the factory seam weld that they did. You created that all the way through the front of the firewall. Just stunningly beautiful, man, all the way across the board.
You know, that turned out really well. We'll do a show with that next week. That is on that 67 first gen Camaro that we have been doing more of a resto mod slash pro touring build. Started off just doing a basic disc brake conversion, and it has gone from next to next to next to next to next, and now we're looking at a full pro touring build. So we love doing that kind of stuff for the clients. It is turning out incredible. And let me tell you, the before afters look insane.
It does look crazy, doesn't it, Bub? And the client's blown away at just how beautiful that car looks, man. It's crazy. But we're going to talk a little bit about, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, around the world, our very good friend, Mr. Burt Reynolds, passed away yesterday. He had a heart attack here in the South Florida area. He lived right here along with a lot of the other celebrities right down the road. Mr. Reynolds was a friend of ours, and we're sad to see him go, Bub.
Yep.
He was actually filming a new Quentin Tarantino movie about Charles Manson, and they were noticing he was getting weaker and weaker and more frail. But we've seen the decline of his health over the last few years.
Yeah, definitely over the last few years. So it's, you know, to say that it's something unexpected is that's not really the case. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you just live it by the moment and kind of wait for it to happen.
That's all you can do.
You know,
man.
That's really it.
It's
unfortunate, but that's the way it goes.
He's a great man, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? He lived right here in the South Florida area. And by the way, Bub, I mean, what, 5 minutes down the road from our house here, from BEM headquarters here, there's a bunch of celebrities. They live right there on Jupiter Island right there. He was actually across on the intercoastal, across from the island. Lived there since, what, 77 or something, hadn't he?
I have no idea.
Long time, man. Long, long time. But we just want to say, we want to send our prayers and thoughts. I think he's only survived by his sister anymore, isn't he, Bub?
Possibly.
So
I don't know. I don't like to give out information I don't know, because then you get backstabbed.
I'm just saying, I think that's what it was, Bob. I think it was only his sister. Over the years, that's all we came into contact with. So we wish Mr. Reynolds well. Thank him for all the years of acting and entertaining. He was Hollywood's leading man for 5 years in a row. Highest paid celebrity at one time, man.
Yep.
Really good guy. Bob, what do we have right here? You do a lot of GM cars. You do a lot of Ferraris, Maseratis. And up in the Northern Virginia area where we opened the business, we always knew spring was coming because we would get flooded with what kind of cars, Bub?
Ford Mustang.
We would get hammered. Yeah, they're very popular.
So this is one of those, I would say, for a lot of people, iconic rides. This is what was considered, and not many people considered these things third gens. That was typically used more in the GM side with the Chevrolet Camaros, the Firebirds, first gen, second gen, third gen, fourth gen, fifth gen, you know, sixth gen, etc. Mustangs in that Mustang cult, they weren't really considered by their generation. You just kind of said your year range, or in this case, the nickname of Fox Body. So that actually went to this year range, which was a third generation of the Mustang model line from Ford Motor Company. That was from 78 to 93. The earlier models of that going 78 to 86 were a little bit more on what I would say the ugly side with like the four headlights in the front. They didn't look too smooth. This thing going from 87 to 93, so a 6 year run. This was my style and personal preference of that body style. They redesigned the front end of these things. They went with more of an aerodynamic style headlight assembly and, you know, marker lamp assembly set up in the front bumper. They went to that rounded style fog light, you know, depending on if it was a GT model or an LX, this one being an SVT Cobra.
Yes.
So this kind of was the Mac Daddy of that period, which was a tire shredding 235 horsepower.
Isn't that crazy? And at that time, it was competing with the Chevrolet Camaro, Bob. And you know, you're a big Camaro guy. You're a big car guy all the way across the board. You know all of these cars and their platforms and the way they're designed because you've put your hands on so many of them. The differences were huge between the different the LS motor and the 5-liter and all of that. Take us a little bit through that.
Well, so it's you know, these things were, man, when these cars came out, they were optioned with originally you could get a 4-cylinder, you could get a V6. The 4-cylinder literally starting in like the 80 horsepower range. I believe it was like 85 horsepower, the little 2.3s. Now you know that 2.3 is back as an EcoBoost.
An EcoBoost motor, man.
Factory coming out at over 410 foot-pounds of torque, being 2.3 turbocharged. That's a massive number for a little 4-cylinder inline motor. So had you have had that back then, or even took a brand new EcoBoost motor today and stuck it in one of these, you would have an animal, you know, at that kind of number before you even start doing mods.
Before you did anything, man.
So these things, you know, you could get them offered in a 4-cylinder, a 6-cylinder, and the premium style design, which is of course the go-to in these things, and probably what 90% of these was built with. I don't know the exact production specs on, you know, V8 versus 4-cylinder packages, but there were a lot of GTs, a lot of LXs that came with that badged 5.0 emblem. Yeah. Vanilla Ice rolling in his drop top, right? Of course, you got to have the 5.0.
That's right. You remember that?
So
Ice baby.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, man. And he's got a few of these things just down here in South Florida, white ones. So a lot of fun can be had in these cars, and there are a lot of mods that can be done to them. If you were to find one, now keep in mind, over the years, these things have been butchered every possible way you can imagine, from race cars to track cars to road race cars. This is actually the body style car that Steeda, the aftermarket industry for automotive parts for Ford, for these Mustangs in particular.
Yes.
This is what they made their mark in the world on, was Fox Body Mustang.
Steeda was also a sponsor of the BEM SEMA award-winning Mustang that you took first place with last year, Bob.
That's right.
They had their names all over that down at SEMA. Good morning to Allie. She's watching out there as well, Bob. So, good morning. She says you're going to build her a bitchin' little Mustang.
All right.
You're not scared, are you, Bob?
No, not at all.
No, absolutely not, man. So, Bob, these were iconic little cars, man. How did they stack up against the Chevrolet Camaro platforms? How, kind of give us a pro. Were
they,
these bigger,
hand
smaller?
In hand, man. It's, you know, that's always been a rivalry over the past, God, I don't even know, since literally back to the early 60s, right?
Yeah.
When the Mustangs were coming out, you know, when they started, like, the rare option 64 and a half. You know, going into Chevrolet's Camaro side, which started in 67, you know, it was, you didn't race a, and I'm talking like from a value standpoint, from a brotherhood standpoint, you didn't race a 65 Mustang against a 57 Corvette. Like, the, you just weren't on the same page.
Generationally, you're saying.
No, I'm saying from a performance class, you weren't on the same page. The vet was going to take it no matter what you had done, right?
Okay.
So from a performance class and from a, like a relatively comparable class, it was the Mustang and it was the Camaro, and also like the Challengers, you know, the Chargers, things like that. Those were also on the bigger boy side because they had bigger engines in them. But if you were comparing like kind of apples to apples, whatever you want to consider it, it was Mustang and Camaro in the performance years, literally all the way back from the 60s through today, and that is still happening daily.
Yes,
and that's
man.
What it was, man. But they were always fairly close. Like, for example, this is a 93. I want to say the, well, 93 was going to go into a fourth gen on the Camaros. So going to 92, 82 to 92 is third gen on Camaros. Those cars, I think, maxed at 240 horsepower with a 350 TPI tune port setup. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where you had a little bit of a difference on the GM side. You could get the 305 tune port, which was a V8, which was like the 205,
that's
190
correct.
Horse range. Or you could get an optional bigger V8, just a little bit more. You can go from
it's
a 305
5-7,
to a 350.
One.
Yep, 50 to 57. And you could get another 40, 50 horsepower out of it. And that is where guys like this would have trouble, because you could only get one 5.0.
Which was the 5-liter Mustang. Now, Bub, Ford's re-announced the 5-liter. You have just completed the world's first twin-turbo Hellion-based 6-speed 5-liter 2018 Mustang. You're doing some additional body mods and exhaust work on it right now. Car runs real strong. Why did Ford bring back that 5-liter engine? So you know, ladies and gentlemen, before the master answers that, they went to a 4.6 for many years, which was used in the Crown Vics and their bigger fleet
time.
Lines and their police interceptors.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's all about today's technology, today's power and efficiency and what you can get out of something, and also a maintenance standpoint. What's the lifespan you can get out of these things? And it's literally like you see ups and downs. Like, so for example, the LT-based motor from Chevrolet, we're talking General Motors now, not the Ford side with like the Coyotes and Fiobos and things like that. When you talk about the General Motors side, the LT platform, that was a Generation 2 motor, so that was like 93. was the first year of that motor, and it ran to 97, end of 96. So that was only a 3-year motor that General Motors did, and that's it. Which is not
it a desired after motor though?
Yeah, it is. And what I'm getting to is, so like that was an LT1, you could get the option for like Corvette based models for an LT4. And there were a lot of people that took like the LT1 motors that would be like stock Camaros, things like that, SS Camaros. You'd get those, and then you would actually put in like an LT4 hot cam kit from General Motors. Mm-hmm. And those things would just boost those numbers up huge and make the car just an absolute animal. But when you consider that there was that 3-year period that they ran the LT based motors and they scrapped it, they went to all LSs, you know, going to the all aluminum, more horsepower, more efficient. Now what they've done is they've gone back to the drawing board, and General Motors in this case has brought the LTs back out, and that's what you're getting in the vets.
Interesting. So the LT is back, like the 5.0 is back.
Right. So the LS is gone. Now the LT is back, going into an all aluminum based setup. But they've kind of taken everything that they've learned over the years and built an even better package. Well, come on with this guy. Simple as that. There's D. So, you know, that's the same thing that Ford's doing in terms of their 4.6s that were a very long run. I mean, Ford used the 4.6 for a very long time. They did them naturally aspirated. They did them supercharged. You could get them in pretty much every possible option. And then you could even go bigger than that if you wanted to get like a 5.4. Same design engine, but the larger version of it, much like the 5.0 versus the 5.7 in the Chevrolet side. So plenty of options. It's all about what you are buying.
But one of the things I wanted to ask you about, though, is these cars were not meant to handle boost. For example, technology has come so far in such a short period of time. Today's motors you can boost without doing a lot of internals, correct?
Yeah, you can boost them pretty good.
I mean, so why? What was the difference between this generation? Is it that the American market
had... It's all cast. It was all heavy-duty cast iron. There was nothing aluminum on these. In the SVT Cobra case, you could get the optional aluminum heads. That's what this car would come with at 93 only. Any other time, it was just the iron head setup, iron block. It was very heavy. Typically, everything that was inside of it was still cast iron. Nothing was forged internally. So you were working with stuff that couldn't handle much outside of what it was meant to do in terms of putting boost to it, things like that. Now, these motors with themselves, you can still boost them, but you can boost them safely. You can do, and this is kind of what we're talking about with basic bolt-ons, this one being in the 235 horse range factory, you can boost these things up with, like, for example, a Vortex supercharger, a Paxton side mount, nothing down the center, not a root style. You can throw one of those things on here, and I'm talking bolt-ons. You throw them on, $5,000-$6,000.
Never ran right, leaked oil,
but
never
fit
right.
But you push that number to probably 420 horsepower. So for a go-to bolt-on item without taking the whole motor apart, doing heads, doing custom tunes, doing cams, doing a lower end of the thing, doing all this different work, you can buy a bolt-on piece, you can stick it on, it comes with a tuner, and you're ready to go. And that gives you that over 400 horse mark, which, by the way, would take this car and hang with any of today's Mustangs, Camaros,
this
Challengers.
One. Yeah. So, Bub, here we are with a 93. And just in that 15-year span, things have changed so much that you can do complete bolt-ons, direct fit, don't leak, hand tuned and ready to go, versus these that had heavy side mount Vortex supercharger, mm-hmm. root style blowers, this, whatever it is,
yeah,
right? And never ran right, man. They leaked oil. You had lower end problems.
Yeah, you know, that was the biggest problem with these cars was, you know, these are early fuel injection. You know, you were talking to me about wanting to get like a third gen Camaro earlier.
Yes, I did.
And it's one of those situations where, like, yeah, they're super fun. They're great to have. But those systems they hadn't figured out exactly yet, and I'm saying everyone in terms of the fuel injection marketplace hadn't really figured out how to individualize the sensors and make everything go back to one brain and let the brain figure it out in terms of how to make the motors run properly, so efficient, reliably, things like that. Same thing with these. You know, there were so many different little sensors and tweaks and mods, the idle air control valves, the search and idle on these cars. You know, the cars are randomly shut off when they got hot because of ignition modules, things like that, that just made people either hate them, not know how to work on them, and start cutting up things and hacking them up and checking wires and cutting wires and all kinds of nonsense that went on over the years because it was just a system that wasn't perfect yet. Well, now you get into today's fuel injection stuff, it's perfect. So if you have a problem with, for example, you know, the motor starts running hot, it's only gonna be one sensor that starts failing or communicating with the brain and it makes the brain is what adjusts all the other sensors, right? So it's the brain that's doing the work. On things like these, one sensor is literally tied into the next sensor and tied into the next sensor.
They're daisy chained together.
So it's all like piggybacked. And if one thing would go wrong, it would give you symptoms of about 8 sensors. And before you know it, you've taken half the motor apart. You've spent about $1,000 in sensors.
Jesus, man, I remember.
And you still don't have the crap running right. You know, you're swapping computers under the dash, trying to plug in harnesses.
Remember the days, man.
Man, is a computer bad? Is it just this? Is it that? It's probably not. It's probably something simple. You just have to exactly pinpoint what it is because it'll give you 10 different symptoms.
And then you were dealing with the OBD-1, because this is prior to 96, the OBD-1 or Omburg Diagnostic 1, the bricks, as you were talking about, with different codes and keys and everything like that, and nothing, it was impossible to diagnose the cars and bring the client a cheap repair.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot, man. So, you know, these cars are one of the... they're one of the funner ones, man, if this is your personal preference and style. Now, 235 horsepower coming out of the Cobra side, that number can easily be bumped with your basic bolt-ons. And that was what we had a lot of questions on in terms of 80s, 90s, early model muscle cars, not like the true 60s, 70s stuff like, you know, Chevelles, big boy Camaros, things like that. But just your fun rides that are now starting to take off in the marketplace, the third-gen Camaros, the third-gen Mustangs. People wanted to know, like, how do you get that number aside from just throwing in a massive motor? If you wanted to go out and buy an all original car, this is a perfect example. It was 15 grand for this car, all original, numbers matching transmission, motor, nothing's ever been through. It's been one owner car and it's been literally maintained its entire time. So now this owner who bought it, a little bit of a younger guy, but he wants that numbers matching. He didn't want them molested and cut up. So he spent the money, he paid the big bucks to get the car in a great value versus getting something off Craigslist for $3,500 that's been hacked up and modified and you'll never figure the freaking thing out. So he gets it, now he wants to do basic bolt-ons. Basic bolt-ons for these cars make them super fun. You get up in that 250, 260 horse range by doing simple things, a cold air intake, a full exhaust system, in this case, long tube headers, going with an off-road X-pipe, getting rid of the cats, and which these things were 4 cats originally, and then going, like for example, this setup, we're actually gonna run a 40 series original single chamber muffler coming out the back with the polished stainless tips. So that is all coming in right now from Flowmaster to us to get that on this car, and it's going to give this thing that true 5.0 tone.
Bub, I see right here that one of the upgrades you're gonna be doing on this particular car is the exhaust system, okay? Mm-hmm. Please tell us what system you've chosen for this car and why you've chosen this particular system of not because you're sponsored by it, but why?
So here's what I did. So when you buy direct fit systems from companies like American Muscle out there, that's probably your go-to source place for like Fox Body Mustang stuff, even up to today's Mustangs, 78 all the way up to today. They have systems pre-built and packaged. So in a box, you get everything you need ready to go. Everything for like a cat-back style exhaust, fully bolt-on, bolts-on at your stock H-pipe, X-pipe, whatever system you may have. It is a true bolt-on system, so you can do it on your ground, in your driveway if you want to do it that way, or like we're going to do here, BEM Professionals, doing it on the lift, up in the air so we can make sure everything's lined up, no clearance issues, everything's going to be perfect when it's done. What I did was actually go to Flowmaster site, I pulled up all of their product options for the 78 to 93 Mustangs. They get limited. You start getting into different rear bumper designs, whether it's an LX or a GT or a Cobra. So you start getting limited. So now I find the only systems available for Cobra, and I start breaking it down from there because the only thing Flowmaster is selling is an American Thunder series with the Super 44 series muffler, which is a three-chamber muffler, not what this client wanted. You can't do anything about it. Flowmaster won't swap that muffler out for a different one. It's just the name of the game. You're buying what's pre-packaged and it's done. So what we did was actually pull up a parts list and diagram of what that kit would have come with for this car, pre-packaged from Flowmaster. We sourced out all the parts for it individually from the entry pipes to the exit tailpipes, and we pulled the part number for the mufflers, and we were actually swapping them, replacing them from the 44s to an original series 40, which is gonna really give this client that tone he's looking for.
But one of the things we hear on exhaust systems or mufflers, and we'll do an exhaust, whole exhaust system show at some point, we hear a center in or center out, offset in, offset out. What does that terminology mean in terms of mufflers for those who don't know? By the way, good morning to Spanky out there. Good morning, guys, rocking it from Spanky's. Spanky's Hot Rods, our hot rods done Bubba style. You, Spanky, and I go back many years. I was looking at the picture of us in the Indianapolis show when we were on tour back there. Spanky's a very good friend of ours, and he's an amazing builder out there, Bub. So Spanky would like to say good morning, Bub.
Morning, Spanky.
Everybody, check him out. Check out Spanky's Hot Rods. It's online. Mark Hoffman is watching the BEM Dirt Track driver up there from Maryland. Mark, don't forget that we are on tour in Tampa tomorrow, so we do not have the podcast. We're going to be rebroadcasting the show. Jack Bias up there in Canada says, good morning, Bob.
Morning, Jack.
So, Bob, let me go back to it. In exhaust world, and we'll do a system about long tube. There's a whole science, and it's right. It would take 2 days for you to explain exhaust to people. Mm-hmm. But when we hear terms like center in, offset out, share with the public, what does that mean, please, Bob?
So that's simply in your muffler design, right? So mufflers aren't just a tone. Mufflers are everything from a size, a shape, whether they are oval, whether they are square, whether they are rectangular, whether they are round. I'm telling you, literally you can get anything you can imagine nowadays.
This could be a whole episode.
You can literally not get mufflers and you can get cone inserts. Yep. As simple as that, just to baffle things down. A lot of track cars have that kind of stuff. But it is nothing more than when you refer to offset inlet, center inlet, or you know the size of your outlets, whatever it may be. And as you can see, Flowmaster, very dummy proof, marks these things up how they should be inlet, so don't take that off and walk around with it, because I know you'll do that and then
I will.
I'll
put it on my forehead right here.
Yeah, and you'll probably put it on backwards too.
That's right.
But
upside down,
because Flowmaster thinks through dummies, they actually stamp it in the face of their muffler as well, in case like this guy does rip off the inlet, which he will, by the way. They do stamp it so you cannot screw it up. And trust me, we have had rides come into BEM
backwards.
With them on backwards. It is
like tires.
A joke.
Yeah, like tires.
I mean, absolute joke.
So we will do an upcoming episode on exhaust. When people hear the science behind it, like most people don't know, Bob, let's see. Mark Hoffman says, good morning, guys. I'll be calling Saturday. And he goes, well, boo. Yeah, we're on tour over in Tampa this weekend. I think Bub and I pull out Tractor Trailer Leaves Tomorrow. We're there late Friday night, then Saturday or whatever. But no problem, Mark. Mark is referring to the race report on Saturday mornings he gives. So
I'm just trying to finish my explanation here.
So what I was going to say, Bub, we will do a whole exhaust system on this, but for example, there's a difference between long tube and short tube headers,
right,
and what they do.
So let's go back to what we were talking about, our original question here, which was offset inlet, offset center outlet, center outlet, center inlet, things like that. So that is literally the position of where your pipe is coming in and also where your pipe is leaving the muffler in relation to the shape of the muffler itself. So this one in my hands here is going to be an offset inlet, as you can see. Center of the muffler would be in the center. This would be an offset inlet, and this would be an offset outlet. So you could have a difference of a offset inlet with a center outlet. It would be coming out here, depending on what you need for your application, and that's all it comes down to.
That's what. But there's a whole thing to it, Bob.
I just tried to simplify.
Headers are not
crap
just headers,
right,
are they, Bob?
No, headers are not just headers. There are tuned headers. There are different length headers. There are primary tube lengths that matter. All of this stuff does matter, even pipe size
it's
matters.
It's exhausting. The BEM.
Did you guys get that? It's exhausting.
It's exhausting, Bob. Let me put this down gently on the floor here. I don't want to scratch it. The BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman, who does the race rider report on Saturday, says, in lieu of Saturday, real quick, we got the 2018 points champ race once again in the hobby stock. Again, third place. Points in the sticky stock class. Yes, Mark's tearing it up there, man. It's coming.
That's right.
Time for them to end up that season up there. It's getting to be October, September up there, right,
yep,
Bub? We're in New York, I think, in October, aren't we? Mid-October up there.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to roll through the leaves.
Okay.
I'm going to frolic about, Bub.
Probably.
Yes, I am.
So that is it for this episode. We wanted to just give you guys a little bit on these Fox Body Mustangs. We wanted to throw some basic bolt-ons for these things. Again, your basic bolt-ons for these cars to cap it up, your easy items. Cold air intake assemblies, full exhaust systems, whether it's long tube or shorty, you might want to stay tuned and we'll give you the best tips on that.
That's going to be cool.
Depending on what you're doing with that application, I'm just going to tell you long tubes are the way to go for street cars. So cold air intakes, long tube headers, off-road H or X pipes, personal preference would be X if it is available in the product line that you're looking for, and then a full exhaust system from there, typically in the 2.5-inch range is perfect size for a naturally aspirated setup, and that's going to give you a great boost from that factory. This is rated at 235 horse. This one's going to bump this SVT Cobra up by the time we're done with all these bolt-ons to that 260, 265 range, which is going to be a big difference.
235 horsepower, Bub. 15 years, we've doubled that number, stock.
Easily.
Base model.
Yep.
And I remember when all the naysayers said, oh my God, especially remember in the Harley community, they're going to EFI. They're getting away from carburetors. Hey, how is it when you start your bike, man, you go to let the clutch out, you're doing a 90-degree turn, and your bike doesn't go poof and fall over on you?
Pretty true.
Right?
All right, I got to go.
How about that, right?
Yep.
Until next Friday, Bub.
Just keep on doing it, Bub.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be out there in Tampa Bay. Leaving tonight? No, tomorrow, somewhere. I don't know. We'll be out there. I don't handle the tour schedule or any of that. Ladies man says he wants you to have a great weekend as well as we do this closeout, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a really positive manner today. Let's feed somebody who's hungry. If he's standing on the corner right there, ladies and gentlemen, look, I said the word feed, and Burr's ready to go. Ladies' man's ready. How about that? If he's standing on the corner with a sign that says, we'll work for food, or hungry and tired, man, take him right across the street, ladies and gentlemen. Citgo, 7-Eleven, any of those places. A protein drink and a power bar is cheaper than your designer cup of coffee. Shoes, man, if somebody's got holes in the bottom of their shoes, give them yours. Guys, you got a pair in your trunk, you know it. You probably got high heels in your trunk, guys. Mark Hoffman, I think he and Bruce Jenner know each other. Is it Caitlyn Jenner, bub, or something like that? Let's make sure. Mark, get a pair of shoes out of your trunk, man. Give it to somebody. And if somebody's just got their hands full, if it's a lady, an elderly person, a grandma, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, man, take the moment to open the door. We went out to dinner last night at a place. It's a health food restaurant called Belay. Really good place, man. And I wasn't paying attention. I really wasn't paying attention. There was a gentleman who walked out the door right behind me, and I didn't catch it. And I dropped the door in him. I felt terrible. I ran back, tried to open the door. His hands were full, and I just apologized. I said, look, man, I'm sorry. That's not my nature. I always hold the door for somebody. In other words, let's just get out there and do a great act of charity for somebody today. You'll be a better person tomorrow for it. We are off the air on the road this weekend with the podcast. We're going to put up something special to re-air for you, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you stay up with our YouTube channel. We're posting 3 new 4K videos a day now, and we're killing it out there. We'll be back with you next week, and it looks like it's going to be exhaust science and tips. It's going to be a great one. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, let's just keep on doing it. Bubba style. Bubba, I'm Burr. You